This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, let me take that for you.
Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Ah, I know where you went. Twins forever.
The White House Spicer Bunny.
That's the best story of the day. Middle seat madness.
The claw knows everything.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Crazy son of a bitch come out of the damn lake onto my property, beat the hell out of my windows, scare my wife, my children, and
That was a zombie.
Yeah, he's like a damn zombie come out of the damn lake. Oh my gosh,
The Morning Stream. Rambling goes in, podcast comes out. You can't explain that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for Monday, the 6th of March, March 6th, 2017 is the year, and I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
You still smell like the Space Needle. What's going on? Not Space Needle. Is that what it's called up in Seattle?
It is the Space Needle.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
It is. We just haven't.
We looked all over for some space thread, too. Oh, my God.
We didn't find any.
Didn't find any space thread.
That's pretty good. That's a dad joke for the ages right there.
It is. Boy, it is. Yeah.
So you got home yesterday? Is that right?
We did. Got home last night. Yeah, tired.
Yeah, you're probably pretty
basically
pooped. Yeah.
Could have gone to bed at 9 o'clock, stayed up and did a little work. Tina went to bed at 9. She was tired too. But
yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, I mean, you came home. It's safe. You had a good time. You lost, right? You guys lost. Is that the deal?
we don't like to think of it as losing, Scott.
Okay.
You know, we like to think of it as completing our trivia bowl competition in the top 8% of all teams.
Yeah.
The 212, keep in mind, there are 212 teams there. 17th, sure, it's no money. There's no money in 17th. But,
no. There's no money in being 17.
But being the 17th best at something, I mean, the 17th, according to Rolling Stone's list of the 500 best songs ever of all time,
yeah.
The 17th best song is Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix.
Oh.
I'll take a Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix.
Right, that's
who, I might add, is from Seattle.
That's it. My gosh, it's all full circle. Who's number one on that list, by the way? I'm just curious. What song is
Rolling Stone, or Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
Fine.
How does it feel to be on your own?
I mean, I like those guys.
Jimi Hendrix.
I like Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan. They're great guys and all.
Yes, they are great guys.
Okay, what's number two?
Couple of great guys.
Who's second place? That's the real bummer person.
Oh, I don't have a list.
Oh, that's all right. If you don't know.
I know number one, and I now know number 17. I can't remember what number two.
Well, well done on the hot try. I'm not going to say you guys lost. I'll say you won less. That's all we're going to say.
We won less, correct? And you know, I mean, again, it's 100 questions. You know, there wasn't a single round that really hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple questions in each round that definitely caused us some difficulty. And unfortunately, one of the rounds, and you know, you get to pick one of your rounds to double your points in. And we picked one that we felt pretty strong about. We ended up missing a couple more questions in that round than we thought. So it was, you know, we're, for every point we lose in that round, we're really losing 2 points. And so it...
Wow.
It pulls you down, but in about a week we'll be able to share a blog post about our experience there, and we'll have a list of all the questions and all the answers, because I'd like to see what people think. And when they read through this, it's like, one of our questions, we had one question where we had 8 blanks, and we had to name 8 Supreme Court justices who left their seat for whatever reason, who are no longer Supreme Court justices in the past 15 years.
So does that count Scalia dying?
It does count Scalia dying. He left his seat.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, so I called Scalia's seat. He left it.
That was obvious, but you know, that was the first one that we said, obviously.
Yeah, that seems seems like the easy one to remember.
The easy, the gimme in that sentence.
The rest of those, I couldn't do it. I don't know any of the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, Rehnquist and O'Connor and... Oh,
there you go. Now you're saying names that are familiar. Yeah.
Blackmun and...
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy left her
Wapner.
Seat.
Just Wapner.
Well,
Wapner left.
Just left his seat.
Yeah, just barely got out of there. Is Rusty the bailiff still around, I wonder?
I would, boy, Rusty the bailiff seemed like he was 100 back when they were filming the People's Court. I can't imagine that Rusty the bailiff is still around.
I would love it if Rusty the bailiff was still alive, though. If someone can come, a chat room member, please just take a minute and go on a hunt for us real quick and see if you can find out the whereabouts of Rusty the bailiff. If he has passed on, we'll give our regards. And if he hasn't, then all power to that guy.
Right.
Yeah, we lost the Wapner here recently.
We did, yeah. But anyway. All in all, I mean, it was a great time in Seattle. I want me to just cover my Seattle stuff now.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me about it. What do you got there?
Want to give shout-outs to all the people we saw out there, Tadpoolers and friends of the show, Adam and his girlfriend, who are actually, for the second year in a row, at an adjacent table to us at Geek Bowl. It's funny, like, right next to us. And he's a listener to the show. And
that's awesome.
Really, really nice guy. Met up after the competition at a whiskey bar with Rob Wynn, Andy, Gabe, Chris, and then at another table, Caitlin from the Tadpool, who had some friends who were there. Well, one friend from Comic-Con, one friend who was there from Comic-Con and some of their friends is a guy named Barry Kitson, who is a Marvel and DC comic artist who's currently working on The Avengers and drew Spider-Man back in the 80s.
Oh, right. That name is familiar. That's cool.
Really, really talented guy. And yeah. Things were going okay.
Uh-oh.
Went over there and was talking to them, and Caitlin's like, oh, tell them about the show that you know, you're doing with Hammond. And so first we talked about Coverville, talked about TMS, and then we talked about Soundography. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining Soundography, and I said, yeah, and you know, we just did a show on the Pet Shop Boys. And they're the two guys, Caitlin's friend and then his friend who lives here there in Seattle, mm-hmm. Both guitarists, both British. And one of them says, oh, Pet Shop Boys, that's what Americans think British music is. And then the other guy apparently mouths Pet Shop Boys, like almost like eye rolling.
That's amazing. I love it because this is going to... Oh, my gosh. Okay, keep going. I love that there's some derision on the Pet Shop Boys.
A little music snobbery going on. But then you know, I'm continuing to tell them about other bands we've done. And I say, yeah, we did an episode on Frank Zappa, and we did one on the Spice Girls. And Caitlin says, oh, yeah, Brian's a big fan of the Spice Girls. And that's about when it ended. That's about when any cred that I would have had with these two guys.
See, they don't have the right context, because even I know that the Spice Girls thing, I mean, you like them unapologetically, yeah. But you also understood what they were.
Oh,
it's totally. Like you were under any kind of weird illusion that they were some, you know, that they were Bob Dylan in dresses or something.
They you know, they don't belong on the, rightly so, they don't belong on the Rolling Stone 500 list of best songs ever. However, yeah, so it was at that point that I could tell that they're, you know, examining people who've carved their initials into the wooden tables there at the whiskey bar. Well, this napkin sure could be folded better.
That's
it was
amazing.
Basically,
I love that. I love that because it's like admitting that I like the painting of the dogs playing poker, but I also like real art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fine. I think that's great, dude. You showed you should not shrink from that.
Who's the more open-minded music fan here? The person who enjoys the Pet Shop Boys and Spice Girls and Frank Zappa and Coldplay, while also appreciating the classics like the Beatles and the Stones and Bob Dylan and the Ramones and stuff like that. Oh yeah, there was another one they kind of derided the Ramones because, you know, it's American punk music when they had bands like the Sex Pistols and the Clash.
Oh yeah, right. Ask him how Johnny Rotten's doing today. Say how's his little techno side project going?
What, now, which commercials has Johnny Lydon sold some music to?
Come on, anyway, this is snobbery for sure.
Well, I'm certainly not gonna slag on these guys. They certainly, to coin a British phrase, they definitely took the piss out of me.
Yeah. Well, here in a America, that means you peed all over him. So good job.
That's right. Also, shout out to Jonathan from Trivia Warfare. He does a podcast that that I was on, and hope to be on again to redeem myself there. But it was cool getting to meet the guy. Of course, get to spend some time with Trek Nerd, our own lovely Trek Nerd, and Bill and Brittany Duran.
Oh, good. I know they were busy with Emerald City Comic Con, but it sounds like they got to pull away a little bit.
We snuck away they were able to sneak away and meet at an Irish pub where got to have a drink with them and chat and find out how things are going. And of course, they had to, you know, rub it in further that, yeah, okay, we know you went to New Zealand. Fine, I get it. It's nice.
Yeah,
okay.
But there's still room for stories from New Zealand.
It's where I got to go to, Seattle.
Yeah, that's right. There's a Space Needle. Frasier was here. It's good stuff.
And then yesterday morning, so I was sharing a room with my uncle and another member of our trivia team. And I'm not going to say any names. I'm not going to call this guy out. Right. So I don't want to say his name. Right. But he is a very, very focused and very intense trivia player.
Sure.
And in doing so, he's kind of wound up a little tight.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a trivia fuse that's waiting to go off.
Yeah.
But
he's competitive too. It's a competition thing, sure.
But even when trivia is not on the line, he's still kind of he's wound up tight. He's just very intense and focused. But
right.
He consumed a lot at the whiskey bar that night.
Mm.
And sharing a room with two guys, you know, there's going to be gas passed in the room. sometimes when you're sleeping, even.
Yeah.
And
he needs a CPAP for his butt.
And when you're wound up that tight,
yeah,
you're trying to figure out the funniest way I can word this. But I'll just say he's wound up so tight. His farts are perfect pitch. Like they are
like a
there's no sound variation. It is like
it's like a horn.
A finely tuned trombone.
Like a reed instrument.
Or a trumpet, yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. I love that.
And
well, what was the deal?
Was
is because the alcohol
was one, like a like it was in the middle of the night, I'm just kind of, you know, restless, turning over because I had a little too much to drink as well.
Yeah.
And I hear that, and I just bust out laughing in the middle of the night.
I would have too, though, even if I wasn't drunk, I would have laughed.
Perfectly too. It was like Winston Marsalis tuning his trumpet before a gig.
Wow. Wait, Winston? Anyway. Is it Winton or Winston? I think it's Winton.
Winton Marsalis.
I wish it was Winton the monkey in Overwatch. That'd be great.
No, you don't. Winston is a much better name.
Yeah, you're probably right. But that's awesome. I love it when guys have to fart. There's something funny about that. It'll always be funny.
You know, sharing a room and it's like, oh, I'm just going to... So the next morning, so yesterday morning, I woke up earlier just out of habit, woke up earlier than the other two guys. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to... We're a few blocks away from Seattle Center where the Space Needle is and the Pop Culture Museum. And it's early. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. But I don't know. There's something fun about getting up early and kind of wandering the city on a Sunday morning.
I like that too.
For me. And so there happened to be a marathon going on right outside our hotel. So I watched people go by there for a while. And then I just basically crisscrossed the streets and walked, found a Starbucks, grabbed a coffee and walked around and did some Pokemon hunting. But as I'm coming back and I've got my earbuds in, I'm listening to music or my AirPods.
Your AirPods.
My AirPods. And I'm listening to music. And I see a guy wearing a Hello Kitty backpack. I wouldn't necessarily say homeless, but disenfranchised, maybe.
Sure.
Worse for wear.
I like that word, disenfranchised. Just disenfranchised is good, yeah.
And disheveled. And he walks over to a manhole cover and is shouting at it, and he stomps his foot on it.
Yeah.
And it's at that point that I'm like fumbling for my phone to really quickly turn off the music so I can hear what he's saying.
Yeah,
he's
about to know what's going on, yeah.
25 feet in front of me.
All right.
And I basically just pull out the earbud and, you know, that automatically pauses the music.
Right.
And I see him, go, fine, here you go. And he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a handful of change and drops a dime down one of the openings of the manhole cover.
Oh, my.
And he drops the dime down and he goes, and then he starts walking away. Like full on raspberry. This wasn't a fart. This was a raspberry. And then walks away with his little Hello Kitty backpack.
What the heck? Like, I mean, I know what's going on. There's somebody with, you know, probably hearing voices or probably got some schizophrenia going on and is either undiagnosed or, you know, the system isn't treating him very well or whatever. Yeah. And so that's sad and everything, but I would have loved to have witnessed that.
I wish I could have heard what he was saying when he was yelling at the manhole cover before my...
What if we are the ones that are... What if we're the ones uninformed? What if right under there was like some kind of alligator man hybrid?
We talked about that. My uncle and I talked about that. The fact that, I mean, Seattle does have parts of it that are buried underground from an earthquake, and they built the parts of the new city on top of the remnants of the old city.
Right. So there's like half weird, half quarter buildings and things that are still underground.
Right. Exactly. I mean, he honestly could have been, making an alimony payment, an angry alimony payment to his ex-wife or something who lives with the Morlocks under the tunnels of Seattle.
Yeah. His chud wife who, that's right, she's got an arm for a leg and a leg for an arm, and
that's right,
he owes her money. Who knows?
Could be giving money to Caliban from the Morlocks for all we know.
I love that. All right. Well, it sounds like a storied episode of Brian's life.
It was. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it greatly. Next year,
yeah,
it's going to be in Boston. So right around this time, the trivia team will be making their way to the East Coast for a change and heading out to Boston. So
Frasier in both places. Nice.
Oh, right. Yeah. Whoa. It's like we're backtracking Frasier's life.
Yeah. Maybe I hear the zebra calling. And then you're going to get there and go, everybody knows your name. And by the way, the last three seasons I've learned of Cheers are Frasier episodes. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. That's all they are. And it's fine. I didn't notice it at the time, but now it is so obvious. Every episode is like, oh, Frasier's the star of the show now. It is nobody else. And and that is why he got his series. It's just the weirdest thing to watch back to back like that. But anyway.
Wow.
Hey, I got a question for you. My nephew got married this weekend. I have like a couple of weddings this month from relatives, and
that doesn't sound like a question. That sounds like a statement.
Well,
Scott,
the question is yet to come, and here's how it goes. The wedding went real well. I'm proud of Thatcher. He's a great kid. He's my sister's son, and he's probably the one nephew I relate to the most. Loves video games. Is a total nerd.
Well, he's getting married, so those days are ending.
Yeah, maybe those are ending. He's marrying this beautiful, drop-dead, beautiful girl from Japan. Her name is Mariko. He's half Korean, so finally the Korean Peninsula and the Empire of Japan getting together finally.
Finally.
They can see eye to eye. But anyway, just beautiful. He's marrying way up. And anyway, it was a great wedding. Everybody had a good time. Beautiful stuff, all that. I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. We're there. And they had an ice cream bar, like a Cold Stone Creamery came, and they did half the catering of the reception. And then the other half was some teriyaki bowl place. And they were doing kind of like this dual catering in there. And so we're all eating out of bowls of ice cream and teriyaki chicken bowls with rice and stuff. And when we were done, this old lady, probably 72 or something, comes over to the table and says,
it's a weirdly specific guess, but okay.
And that's why this is so weird. She walks over the table and she goes, now everybody we've seen working at this reception place is young and kind of hipstery and in their 20s and, you know, whatever. They all look the same.
And in a uniform, I'm guessing, right?
Well, not uniforms, but they had like, it was very casual there, but they had like a tag at least. So you could see that they worked there, right? So this lady, though, this 72-year-old lady comes over and goes, can I take your bowls? We don't know who she is. We don't know what part of it. We think she works there because why else would she ask? She goes, are you done with this? Okay, thanks. And she starts stacking them together and taking them. She goes, oh, is that everyone? We're like, yep. She goes, all right. And she starts walking away with these bowls.
Uh-huh.
And Nick and I are like, I don't think she works here, dude. And Nick goes, I don't think she does either. So we're watching her. And she just wanders around, goes to the next table. Can I have your bowls? Let me take your bowls. She starts taking everybody's bowls, asking if they're doing okay, and then wanders around for a bit, just sort of looking around with this armful of bowls, and then finally saunters over to a garbage can, throws them all away, and it's the last we see of her. Now, I'm 100% sure she didn't work there. I'm kind of convinced that maybe she was a waitress in like the 60s or something.
Right.
And
it's just inherent in her nature to...
Or something. Isn't that weird, though?
I mean, it's weird. It's, you know what? It's nice. It's like, it is odd that you're at a place where they're very actively cleaning up after you and taking care of you and bringing you, you know, whatever. And she's and she's wanting to take everything. And
I asked everybody after. I was like, does anyone know who the lady was in the blue dress? Nope, never heard of her. I don't know who that is. I said to my sister, Misha, somebody in your neighborhood? Is it somebody from the other's family? Is it who do we know this lady? I don't know who that was. Who was that lady? No one could tell me who she was. So I feel like some weird specter of cleanliness came into the thing and cleaned up bowls and then vanished into the night. It was very, very
Saint
odd.
Saint Augustine, the patron saint of Chinette paperware.
Dirty paperware. It was nice, though. And I tried to understand why we had... So we had really bad for you ice cream and kind of mediocre but okay rice bowl things, teriyaki bowls. And I think what they were trying to do is say, ah, a little of America, fat guys eating ice cream, and a little of Japan, a much more reserved sort of teriyaki thing.
But nothing representing Korea.
No, nothing with the Korea. Well, because he's only, I guess he's only half Korean, okay. Technically. My sister's Korean, but her husband's a white fat guy like me. So then,
I think that sounds, I mean, you know, the thought of having a rice bowl like that at a wedding mm-hmm. sounds so much more appealing to me than having the, you know, walking down the line of the metal mm-hmm. trays with the Bunsen burners underneath that are full of some sort of nondescript Italian.
I think I agree.
Combination.
Mm-hmm. No, I think I agree with that. I think in the end I preferred it. I didn't do the ice cream because I'm off the sugar, but.
Wow. Restraint, sir.
It was hard. It was hard. It was. And the men's bathroom had a toilet in a stall uh-huh. with a chair facing it.
Oh, I saw your photo. Yeah.
Can you explain that to me? Because I understand the idea of like.
I bet I can.
Okay, give it.
Was there? Because this was this a like a reception hall or
sort of? It was weird. So I'll give a brief description of this place because it's very strange. It's a. There's a big, huge cemetery. My dad's actually buried at the cemetery. Mm. And it's right next to it and owned by the same people. So literally, we are 20 feet away from a body of some sort somewhere, right? and it used to be big greenhouses where they would grow a bunch of flora and fauna for the cemetery. So right. They'd go out and decorate the cemetery with things they would grow in this huge greenhouse. Well, they've converted the greenhouse. It still looks like a greenhouse, but when you walk in, it is this gorgeous, tropical, beautiful stone path, chair, tables everywhere, beautiful line for where you do the line where people come shake your hand and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like really right. nice reception center and very expensive. My sister didn't tell me the total, but I think it was like outrageous.
Wow.
So it was
but it
very
is a place
different.
Where they have regular regular wedding receptions.
That is the that's the whole point of that place now is wedding. So your thinking is it's a wedding related thing then.
It is. Yeah. Basically if you know, if you need some place to change into your tux or change into your you know, whatever you're wearing to the wedding.
Yeah.
You usually go to the bathroom to do the changing, unless they have like a specific room, and they probably have something for the groom, someplace for him to prepare and get ready and stuff.
Yeah.
But as a guy who's had to change into wedding reception clothes, or when I was a DJ having to change into the tux after hauling in all the equipment, you don't want to wear your nice outfit as you're hauling in equipment and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of those reception places will actually have chairs either in the bathrooms or in the stalls where you can go in there, change, and not have to sit on the toilet while you're putting your socks on or your shoes on. Or
oh, good point. Or put your clothes, a place to put some of your clothes when they're not on the floor.
Right, your clothes or your clean clothes while you're changing out of your dirty ones, because the last thing you want to do is set it on the floor of a men's room.
All right. You've explained it. Because in my head, all I could picture is some guy staring at me while I'm trying to do my business.
Exactly. Almost done. You ready?
You ready? Yeah. Okay. I'm watching. Let's do it. Get the phone out. Periscope.
Up?
Yeah, it was really weird. Anyway, there's that. Oh, quick, two mentions, and then we'll get to Stump Daryl. My daughter this morning, I hear this sound. I hear, crunch! And then I hear her go, uh-oh. And it's way down the hall. And I hear all this banging around. And I go in there. I go, you okay, honey? And she goes, she was getting ready to go back up to school this morning. Mm-hmm. And she goes, give me a second. I said, okay. So I give her a second. She comes out in a towel, and she hands me this big faucet-looking thing. I said, what is this? She goes, I think I kicked it. I said, you think you kicked it? Like, either you kicked it or you didn't. So you know the downspout of the tub? It's been kicked off completely by her foot.
Oh.
And her foot is bleeding all over the place. Like, she cut herself on it. I know. It was like a total disaster this morning.
And she doing the electric slide in the while she's taking a shower or something?
I think Carter is just, she inherited my clumsiness and just fumbles around and bumps into stuff and... It's totally fine. It's kind of endearing in a weird way. But yeah, we're buying a new faucet today. So that was number one. And number two, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Monty and his wife. I found out this weekend that they're listeners of the show. And Taylor, my daughter, did their wedding photos. And I didn't even know about it. So I just wanted to tell them, wish them the best. I'm sure that they're doing great. And Taylor really enjoyed doing their shots. So hello to them.
Very cool.
All right.
Congrats.
We're going to do this now because it's time.
All right.
Here. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Stump Daryl time. Hi, Daryl. What's going on?
Oh, hello.
Hi. I pulled you in early because I like to be nice and efficient now with my transitions.
Yes.
I like it.
How did you... I have some audio of your first thing you said to Brian when you saw him when he visited this weekend. Do you want to hear it? This is what this is what Daryl said.
You guys sound kind of sparkly.
There you go. That was it. Was he naked when he saw you, or was it everything was fine?
He was not naked. No, Daryl, I feel bad because the only time I got to spend with Daryl was a ride from the airport to our hotel, which was, granted, it was a good long ride, so I felt like we got some time to talk, but I didn't come to Seattle to get chauffeured around by Trek Nerd. If I'm going to spend some time with Trek Nerd, I want it to be at a restaurant or at a bar, grabbing a coffee or something like that, and something a little bit more, you know, a little bit more social.
Sure.
Than he's our Lyft driver, and I gave him 5 stars.
He still insists on putting the pink mustache on the front of that car. Just can't.
That's right,
figure
but no
out.
Tip because he didn't have little mini bottles of water or an iPhone charger.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, there was an iPhone charger.
I bet there was it. Actually. Yeah. Right. I actually don't doubt that there was.
So. I just imagine, like, I have this, so many soundboard things from Daryl that I could make an entire conversation about what it might have been like to visit with him, but I won't do it. I won't do it. You'd say, Brian would say, I really like the Space Needle, and Daryl would say...
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real fruity. And, Daryl, how do you like your fish? Okay, great. You know, that sort of thing. Well, I'm glad you guys got a chance to hang out and be together, and... I'm sure the parting kiss was a subtle one.
It was exactly. It wasn't. You don't want something like that to be over the top or dramatic or anything. Mm-hmm. It was a very subtle and understated kiss. So it was nice.
That's how it's supposed to be. I'm with you. We're gonna stump Daryl today, and it's a little game we play. 801-895-4724 is the number to call. I just cleared the lines, giving everyone an equal opportunity to call the show this morning. If you do get in, you'll have a chance to win a bunch of prizes, stuff that carried over from last Wednesday. Because we did not have a winner that day. I felt bad that day because I really liked the person who tried. Mm-hmm. I don't remember their name now, but I remember feeling like, oh, I like this guy. I don't want to not give him things. But instead, we're going to give it to somebody else. We have our first caller in, and let's find out who it is. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Pickett from Minneapolis.
Hey, what's going on? Say that name again.
Pickett.
Pickett.
Pickett?
Yeah.
Pickett from Minneapolis.
I don't make it in the chat often, but...
That's all right. I like that name. That name is interesting. Minneapolis is a fine part of this here United States. These states united. Anything going on there that's cool, or you're just freezing? Probably it's probably cold. Yeah.
No, it's 50 and rainy today.
What
it's
is
been
it?
Really
oh,
weird
wow.
this year.
Isn't that weird? This is a weird year, man.
It is a weird year. Yeah, it's 20 degrees warmer in Colorado than it was in Seattle while I was there, and rainy.
That's crazy.
I mean, you expect. Seattle to be rainy.
Hey, tomorrow when Jerry's on, we got to talk about that lookalike guy you saw there, because that looked just like Jerry when he's older.
Oh my God. And it's funny because that picture, I almost didn't want him to do the photobomb face because he looked less like Jerry when he did that.
Yeah.
But his just standing around, he's got bitchy Jerry face, or Jerry resting face, I guess is the phrase. Resting Jerry face. The dude looks just like Jury from 5 years in the future.
That's crazy. I also really like the sound of bitchy jury face. I think that's
bitchy
pretty good.
Jury face.
All right, so let's do this thing. Brian's going to explain the Rulio and how it functions, and then you're going to be stumped, Daryl. So, Brian, how's it work?
Well, Pickett from Minneapolis, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is going to be a number, and while we have every hope and expectation that Daryl will get it right, we know that sometimes these things happen and he may end up in 17th place trying to get the trivia question correct. But we're then going to turn to you and ask you if the actual answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win, courtesy of Scott Johnson and listener who sent this stuff in, a Marvel Ice Cube tray, a copy of Super Fight the Game, and your own blank money. That's a little Kid Robot action figure that you can decorate and make into whatever you want. I'm going to suggest that since it's bald, you make it into one of your favorite TMS hosts.
Yeah, all you have to do is do two dots and a goatee, and it's Brian.
That's right. Exactly. And it's decorated. Yeah, we can even do it for you before we send it.
Done deal. Anyway, it's here. It's these will all be yours if you win today. What's our topic?
Our topic today is the WWF.
Oh, Worldwide Farts. Got it.
Worldwide Farts.
That's the World Wrestling Federation, and that's stuff I know zero about, but I'll do this question anyway. Here it goes. Daryl, how you like the wrestling? You like the wrestling? We've talked about this before, I think.
The old stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you do a show co-hosted with a wrestler.
He used to. He doesn't do that anymore.
That's right. Former.
Yeah. Former show. All right, well, let's see what we got.
And former wrestler.
Yeah. okay.
Yes.
All right, great. He says yes three times. That means it's time to go. Back in 1992, a character by the name of Nails with a Z, that's N-A-I-L-Z, was introduced into the WWF. This character was a former prison inmate and had a feud with the Big Boss Man. That's apparently another wrestler. How many days does Nails claim to have been in jail for? And I will tell you the answer is somewhere between 500 and 10,000. Mm. So 500 and 10,000 is your range. Daryl, what do you think? Where's your clue at?
Before you
dig, I got to read a thing to you. Sorry, I just remembered this. Got an email from Terry Z in Chicago. You know, Terry Z.
Oh, yeah, Terry Z.
Terry Z, represent. He says, hey, Scott and Brian and Daryl, to refresh your memory, I'm the one who sent Scott the Star Trek red shirt last December.
Yeah, thanks, Terry.
Yeah, no problem. It's look, he didn't have your tiny size that you wear.
Right. Yes, those red shirts only come in. Probably the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. He says this, we still have some red jumps or some shirts and jumpsuits for sale. They're old retail stock. We retired, so they don't come from our sales department and so don't have standard sales inventory codes. Someone came in this morning and bought one of the jumpsuits. The employee waiting on her came over to me holding the jumpsuit and asked, what is this? When I told her it was a Star Trek jumpsuit, she told me she had never seen such a thing. I think I stood there for a minute or two like a deer in the headlights, stunned. Terry Z in Chicago. Is it possible that anyone, even some dirty millennial, has no idea what a Star Trek jumpsuit looks like? Are we entering that phase where Star Trek's been gone too long in a TV form that we just don't know anymore, and there's a whole generation that are like, Star what? It's Captain Who?
Right.
Yeah.
No, that can't be.
I hope not.
I think that we are. I mean, I think that we are getting to a time where, you know, the millennials are maybe familiar with the movies, but maybe you're like, oh, that's based on a TV show. Yeah, I never saw the TV show.
Yeah, and I told you I had a whole classroom of 10-year-olds who had never seen a single Bugs Bunny or Roadrunner cartoon. 10-year-olds.
Wow.
How do you not get exposed to that? Your parents
10-year-olds, dude.
Your parents suck. Your parents are broken. They need to make you watch those things.
I think that's going to be more and more common. I think that, you know, it's all Powerpuff Girls and Adventure Time these days, and nobody appreciates the classics.
It's true. There is a new Powerpuff Girls on. I hear it's not very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hear it's not great. I hear it's not nearly as good as the original, but
wow,
what do I know? It's not really my demographic, but actually it kind of is. I like that stuff. Hey, anyway, Daryl, what do you think there? What do you think on those numbers there?
That's a wide range.
It is a wide range. Mm-hmm. I say that when I walk into my sister's kitchen. She has this huge, huge cooking
area.
It's right.
Yeah, you can actually cook 12 pots.
Yeah, it's wide range.
At the same time, it's a very wide range.
Yeah, it's very open range. I love that movie.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead, Daryl.
I don't have any clue what the right answer is. I think this first guess is too low, so I'm going to guess again.
All right.
1,216.
All right, that's a number. Brian, is that correct?
1,216 is incorrect. Pickiet is the... Am I saying that right? Pickiet?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Okay.
He says it the same way. Yeah.
I can't tell if I'm not and he's trying to be nice, or if he's suddenly realizing that, you know, he... You probably should have picked a different name.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Pickett is the actual.
Yeah.
Is the actual answer higher or lower than 1,216?
God, I don't know. I'm just gonna say higher.
All right. My name is Cracked and Bleeding Nipple. Is that really your name? Yeah, that's how it sounded to me. Okay, so higher, he says. Well, let's find out if it's higher. I think Pickett deserves a good prize, so let's hope that he's right. Is it higher?
Congratulations.
It is.
You're a winner.
The correct number is 2,478 days is how long he claims he was in jail. He says when he was out, he was going to beat up the big boss man for putting him there in the first place. Here is a clip of one of his little promos. I have not heard this.
I was an innocent man. I was put there for crimes I did not do. Do you understand me, boss man? I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life. And this time, I'm going to finish the job. You're going to learn what it's like to serve hard to me.
Wow. That's why I love that stuff.
That's some theatrical business. I have some memory of that somehow, and I don't know why. I don't watch wrestling. Somehow that's ringing a bell. We played it on the show before or something? You might have. That may have come up before. I don't know. Anyway, there's that. Well done. All you got to do, Pickett, is send me an email, scott@frogpants.com, and I will hook you up once I get your address with these items and a couple little bonus things that I didn't even tell you about.
Ooh.
So, well done.
Thanks, guys.
No problem. Nice. Enjoy the nice, mild weather while it lasts, because who knows, we may have July and snow the way weather is lately. Take it easy. We'll talk to you later. All right.
He's gone.
It's
real to me, Scott. It's real to me.
It's real to me. Hey, Daryl, well done. It's a good time to give something away to somebody. And you're the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there and at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. And what are you guys covering this week? You got a good episode to hit, or what are you doing there?
It's DS9, and it's not a terrible one.
Oh, good. Does Odo at any time in this episode end up in a bucket where he sleeps?
No. Okay. No, not this time.
Okay, good. Because I don't like those.
Hey, that's a Sleep Number bucket, though.
It is, but don't you think? Wouldn't like a tray, like a
where you could stretch out a little bit?
Yeah, he doesn't have to be in a freaking bucket.
An aquarium?
Always bugged me. Anyway.
He could just stretch out on the floor and become a carpet or something.
Yeah, or just anything. You can just liquefy and go wherever. You don't have to be.
That is a good point. Why did Odo have actual quarters? Like. Why did he need, like, you know, a
does he eat? I don't remember if he eats.
I don't remember either.
I don't think he eats, does he?
I seem to remember him talking about what he eats not being something that people would like to see.
Oh, so yeah, it was
that
like
sounds familiar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if he eats, he excretes. And that
and
means
he goes, anyone, Benson.
Yeah, Benson. Maybe he excretes himself every night in the bucket and then he's fresh in the morning. I don't know how it works.
Major Dumperous says that he cannot eat or drink, but how did he take nutrients in somehow, right? There was something.
Maybe absorbed it.
I totally remember that. Yeah. You wouldn't want to see me eating, Benson.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to handle what you've seen. All right, Daryl, why don't we let you play a game with us now? What do you got there for us?
Okay, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Great.
Barfing in blank.
Movies.
Unison.
Oh, I saw something you'd love, Daryl. It was an episode of... what was it? There was something where there was like multiple pukings. And I thought Daryl would love this because there are people just puking left and right in this movie. Oh, what did I see? Now I don't remember, but I know that I was watching The Expanse as well, Expanse Season 2, and there's a really great barf scene when they're about to do a spacewalk, and I always think of Daryl when there's barfing in movies or TV. Because he's convinced that there's a barf in every movie and every TV show, pretty much.
Well, movies, not necessarily TV.
Well, that's true. But at least you could say in a series, though, right? Like every series, maybe not every episode,
yeah,
but every
probably,
series probably
yeah,
has somebody
yeah.
puke. Even Cheers had somebody barf in it. Couple times,
yeah, but it's probably off screen, right?
Sure, but the implication is there. So I think that's interesting that you've tapped into.
I remember
this.
Carla probably talking about a lot.
Yeah,
Rebecca, you make me boff.
Yeah, I'm gonna go puke.
She was always going to go puke.
After 2.5 years of driving a Lyft, my buddy Chris Brown yesterday had, or day before yesterday, had his first puking in there from a ride.
Oh, someone yacked in the car?
Someone yacked in the car. It was a couple, some very well-dressed co-eds coming back from a college function at 7 or 8 p.m. It wasn't even that late. And they stuck the drunkest one between them, and she ended up yakking all over their very nice clothes and the inside of the
oh my gosh, put her on the outside, you dumbasses. They
should basically took them to a or took the car to a car wash, opened up all the doors, and just hosed the whole thing out.
Oh my gosh. And this is your friend that punched Rihanna and gave her a black eye, right? Is that the one?
We don't like to talk about that. Okay. Was, you know, right. A long time ago.
All right, just making, you know, when Chris Brown comes up, I just have to right. Put two and two together. All right, Daryl, sorry. I say movies, Brian says
unison.
And the actual number one query result is barfing in public.
Oh, that's
public.
I hate barfing in public. You know, I've never actually barfed in public, but it's one of my fears. I hate.
Really?
The idea of barfing in public horrifies me. I can't, I can't even, I think part of the reason sometimes I'm in a packed crowd and I feel like I'm going to yak is because I'm afraid I'm going to yak. And it's not that I'm actually going to. Like, I don't barf very often. How long's it been? 2005. What's that now? That's what, 12 years?
12 years. 12 years a non-barfer is, I think, the name of the movie.
And that, there's no black and white cookie around to make me break my thing or anything. Like, I'm way... And then before that, 98, before that, I don't remember.
Jeez.
So even when I've been sick and should barf, I don't. We've had this conversation. But when I'm out in public, it's... Like, if it's a... When I was in China and I was surrounded by a sea of people shorter than me, all I could think of is, well, if I barf, it's on all their heads.
I'm just gonna,
really? I'm just gonna barf right on this, like, five people's heads right in front of me here, because they're all about a foot or two below me. It's gonna
be
great.
That's where your mind goes.
The great white puker, I'll be known as I leave their fine Asian nation. Anyway,
the adventures of Chunderman.
Chunderman. An upchuck. Anyway. So Daryl, let's get you out of here. What did we do? You already told us. You said
public.
Yeah, public. Yes. Public is that's the place to go buy your stuff. Public. So I always hear about that place. All right. Bye, Daryl. Kiss my butt. All right, here we go. Brian, time for the news. It's the news brought to you by
Hotline Monday today at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. What are you and jury going to be discussing today?
Well, let me tell you. I believe that we'll be talking... Actually, I don't know what we're talking about. He hasn't told me yet.
Talk about the Switch? Can you talk about the Nintendo Switch?
Well, look right here, what I have right here. A little switcheroo right there. I'll look at you. Oh, why is yours so much lighter? Oh, I think it's just the lighting.
The lighting.
Yeah, both you and I did not go for the weird multicolored dumbness.
We did not, no.
Yeah. I just want to do, I'm going to be doing a longer discussion with Patrick a little bit later this morning. I'll be on his show, Pixels, talking about this device.
That would make more sense. Sure.
I really, really like it.
Yeah, I do too. I've barely had any time to spend with it. Got in so late last night. It came in while I was in Seattle. And I played about 15 minutes of Zelda this morning, but I just want to get a feel of like how the screen and the controls work. I love it already.
It's pretty nifty. I went in already optimistic, but I guess I'm coming away surprised how impressed I am with it. It's like I don't know how to explain it. Like, I've done both the TV and the handheld business. What it's like to swap between the two. I cannot recommend Scribble, or what's it called? Scribble Snip. Snipper Clips, that's it. Snipper Clips, this weird downloadable $19 game, is amazing. It is the most laughy good time I've had with a co-op multiplayer thing in a very long time, and all you need is the two Joy-Cons to do it, and two of you can, like, you and Tristan would have a riot playing.
Really? Oh, cool.
It's the secret underdog gem of this launch that no one knows about. It's so good.
Fantastic. Anyway, Scribble Clips, you said it is, or
Snipper Clips.
Scribble Nuts, Snipper Clips.
Snipper Clips sounds like a place to get your hair done, but
right, yes.
It's utterly fantastic wonderful, delightful little thing, and it's totally.
Yeah, Metro says Snipper Clips is the Nintendo Switch's second best game.
I completely agree. At this point, I haven't played them all, but I completely agree. Anyway, more on that later. I'll have lots of other feedback on the Boop Show and some other stuff coming up, so watch for that.
Cool.
Let's see. Oh, 97-year-old twins died together when they fell on some ice. Mm. So they were born twins, they lived as twins, and then they died.
At the same time.
At the exact same time. At age 97, just prior to 100, when they fell during an extremely cold night. The bodies of Gene Haley and Martha Williams were discovered at 21 Opechee Drive. According to local police, this was about 8:10 a.m. the other day. The twins had gone out to dinner the night before with their 89-year-old younger sister. She's just a young one, that younger 89-year-old younger sister. All three went to Haley's Opechee Drive around 8:30 p.m. Later that night, the younger sister left, and the authorities believe Williams may have tripped and fallen in the driveway as she walked out to the car. Investigators believe Haley was walking through the garage to go inside to call for help when she tripped on a rug and fell.
Oh, jeez.
They both died the same day. I know. It's sad.
It's really sad. Wow.
But at the same time, I don't know. Twins coming in and going out together is something about that I like. I don't know. I mean, I don't like the way they went. I'd rather they were both just on the couch and they just went, and then we're done.
Exactly. But yeah.
I don't like the trauma part of it.
Oh.
So now on to a story that is delightful.
Okay.
And makes me happy inside. And it's, can I just tell everybody this is not political at all? I want to warn you that it's not at all political. In fact, Reuven Jensen sent this file in. I will play this occasionally when I want to make sure people know.
This is not political.
There you go, all right?
It's great.
This is not okay. This is not political.
Good, protection alarm.
I like it. Yeah. Sean Spicer, current White House press secretary, used to be the White House Easter Bunny. This is not...
Did he chew on 35 packs or pieces of gum before lunch when he was the Easter Bunny?
Carrot flavored, though. Had to at the time.
And he went... Buck, 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 buck.
Buck, buck. Love you, Easter. As a kid's the old...
Love you, Easter Bunny.
Bark, bark.
Yeah. Thank you, Easter Bunny.
No, thank you, Easter Bunny. That was it. On March 24th, 2008, under the regime of George W. Bush and his administration, Sean Spicer slipped into a heavy white bunny suit complete with baby blue eyes, a pink nose, and a look of trembling bewilderment, and then paraded himself around the lawn of the White House. This was during the annual traditional White House egg hunt where they have a bunch of kids running around looking for eggs on the White House lawn. At the time, Spicer was just a young 36-year-old assistant United States trade representative for media and public affairs, sweating it out among the hordes of hungry children. Based on his interview, it's a pretty challenging role. The bunny one, we mean. Nice little dig there. MaryClaire.com. Nice. Spicer said that he gets very hot in the suit and said he couldn't see very much, which is why each bunny is assigned a handler to guide them around the lawn. He was not even allowed to speak. Chat room, I give you a view of this photo. That's him right there hanging out with Barbara Bush. What was her name?
Laura.
Laura Bush.
Yeah. Well, there he is right there with his...
And there it is with his hat
off. Look, I like the one picture with his head off.
Yeah. That's pretty good. for some reason, this image. There,
I like that. It kind of humanizes him a little bit, which I kind of like.
Yeah, I like that too. I'm looking for more excuses for him to be humanized. There he is standing with some kids. There's Bush Jr. blowing his whistle. And then, they're picking these up with like spoons. Oh, it must be a competition. That's a weird way to get an egg. I just grab and throw them in my deal. Oh, and then look at Bush hugging him. Oh,
well, but that's weird because that's a different bunny suit.
Oh, right. That's a girl bunny too.
That's a pink. Right. And this one's a...
Brian, I don't see gender. I don't see gender. I don't know why you're seeing so much gender in this. No, it looks... that's awesome. It's a 139-year-old tradition, that Easter egg hunt, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you think they'll do one this year? Probably, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. They're not going to not do that.
I think that some things... You think the turkey pardoning will happen, though?
Ooh. I don't know. November's a long ways away.
It is, yeah.
One day at a time.
Right. Come back to that question at the beginning of November.
Yeah, come back. Okay, let's go. Yeah, let's revisit this in November. See how we're doing. Santa Monica Hotel Room. You ever been to Santa Monica? Is that a place you've been?
Oh, many times, yeah. Okay. Santa Monica's lovely, and I've stayed in hotels in Santa Monica right off the pier there where the get the amusement park rides and the... People gutting fishes on little wooden things right next to their fishing poles. They have a place where, so you catch your fish off of the Santa Monica Pier, and then you have a little wooden area where you can carve it up, clean it, and throw the guts back into the water.
Oh, really?
Right by the surfers and the children swimming. Yes, it's lovely. It's
well, I would only say this.
I don't like seeing fish suffer.
All right. I'd like to see those fish suffer.
Suffer.
Santa, well, did they ever give you a good deal because you had to sit in the middle of an airplane?
They didn't.
Aisle?
I like this this option.
Yeah, this is pretty good. So Santa Monica Hotel is offering room upgrades for customers or guests who flew in the middle seat. Getting stuck with the middle seat on flights can often mean having a battle with the people around you for armrest space and missing out on many great views. But it's not all bad. Shore Hotel in Santa Monica, California is offering guests who have flown to the property via the middle seat a free room upgrade. Given our beachfront location in Santa Monica, we are uniquely positioned to make our guests more comfortable upon arrival by providing them with a view that is infinitely more enjoyable than they experienced on their flight, says hotel manager Gary Peck. Or Jerry Peck, rather. Is that Gary or Jerry?
Could be either one. I've seen...
So it's G-E-R-R-Y. Normally, Gary is G-A-R-Y.
Right.
But that could be Jerry.
I mean, you know, our friend Jerry Conway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Jerry as opposed to Gary.
That's a good point. He's a GIF, not a GIF.
Jerry and the Pacemakers spells it that way, and it's pronounced Jerry, but...
Giraffe. You've seen giraffes before? And have you played with video game?
I have seen.
Giraffics are pretty good in that game.
How are
good.
The giraffics?
The giraffics are great.
That's pretty cool, though. Like, you know, if you're on Southwest, you're never going to get this option because you go in and pick your seat, and your ticket does not reflect what seat you sat in. So maybe you'd have to take a picture of yourself with a little sad face in the middle seat to show them to get your free upgrade. But
The poor people next to you are like, what is he doing?
They've
got a it says here they have a pool, city and garden view rooms, partial and full ocean view rooms, and junior and king suites.
Oh, nice.
It's a junior suite. I don't know what that is.
It's a bed with like a not an actual separate room, but just a wider area for a couch and a desk with a chair kind of thing.
I've been in one of those.
You've stayed in junior suites and probably not even known it.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
It really depends on what the hotel calls a junior suite, because there's probably hotels that say a junior suite, we actually give you a bathroom.
It's kind of like how...
use the hallway.
every time I go to... I forgot the name of the hotel we always go to. Hyatt. We like Hyatts a lot. Mm. And the Hyatt Place ones, all the rooms are like that. So that's the standard room. It's kind of like when you get a first class flight in America, it's as good as a business flight or business class flight internationally.
International flight, yes. So yeah, that's a...
Could the travel world just get their shit together?
Come up with actual standards, like what defines? Yeah. Sure.
What's a junior suite? Finally in the news, before we take a break, Grand Theft Claw Crane is the headline here. Big win at the claw machine leads police to investigate everything in South Korea. Local police in the South Korean city of Daejeon, my brother's talked about that place, had to deal with a remarkable theft case when they received a report from the owner of a claw machine shop. And that's right, in Asia and in Korea specifically, they have these storefronts that are all claw machines. All you do, Brian, is go in there and try to pick up the stuffed animals with a claw machine.
Right, sure.
That's weird, though. Do we have that here? We don't have that here. Do we?
What? Of course we do.
No, we don't. A store with nothing but claw machines in it?
Oh, well, in Japan they have...
Well, yeah.
They have full-on arcades that are like that. I'm trying to think. There's got to be one like that here.
I cannot... If somebody can find me a claw machine-only storefront in America...
Claw machine arcade, yeah. I mean, there's... Boy, I mean, there's places I can think of that have like a whole row of them, but not one that's completely made up of just those.
Denny's has one, but that's it.
Well, it has one, sure.
Yeah, they just have the one.
Just one.
You try to get extra bacon out of it. It says here.
Get a Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity out of there.
One guy got 210 plush toys out of his arcade's five claw machines and then disappeared. They think he was doing something weird.
Yeah.
According to the police report over the claw machine mystery, the toys had an estimated value of 2.1 million won. That's $1,800 plus U.S.
That seems crazy.
It does.
210 plush toys are not worth...
Well, maybe they have different kind of...
$1,820 U.S. dollars.
Maybe they have higher-end plush toys or something.
No.
Well, let's
see. No way. Let me see. What?
Divided
by... Hey, Siri, what's 1,820 divided by 210?
$6.09 each.
I get $8.66.
Oh, I got, maybe I did it wrong. But anyway, we figure between somewhere like $6 and $8 per toy. Maybe yeah, they're higher end toys.
Imagine.
Maybe they're nicer there. I don't know.
Maybe. All right.
After
maybe.
Police investigated the case by looking at security camera footage, they discovered that the plush toys were not stolen, but were legitimately grabbed by two skillful 20-year-old South Korean men. That's my new band. I'm starting. It's called 20-year-old South Korean Men. They succeeded in grabbing all the toys within the time frame of 2 hours. I feel like there was like, did one of them name him? Was one named Charlie Babbitt? And did the other one say drives real good and got to get home for Wapner? Like,
cops
what happened?
Cops are coming.
Anyway, I want to know if there's an American claw machine only arcade. Please, somebody find it, because I'm very interested if that even holds up here. I just can't imagine it works here, but maybe. Hey guys, taking a minute to talk to you about our good friends at Casper.com. I love Casper. I really do. If you don't know who they are, well, let me tell you. They're an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. And they're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you. They're made of supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, breathable design means sleeping cool to help you regulate your temperature through the night. I can attest to this because I have one. I got my new Casper mattress and tried it out. They are so soft and comfortable. Best part was I got to try it for 100 days. Money back guarantee. Where else do you find that? Nowhere, I would say. Try sleeping on a Casper mattress. 100 days for free. Give it a shot. And you don't have to go to some showroom and lay down where others have laid. So don't do that. Instead, try Casper. Do you know that statistically, lying on a bed in a showroom has no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you? I can attest to this. They're all made in the USA, free shipping and returns to the US and Canada, and you can save an additional $50 off when you go get your mattress purchase at casper.com/morningstream and enter the promo code morningstream. That's casper.com/morningstream and the promo code morningstream. I love Casper, and so will you. We're going to take a break, a little song break. When we come back, Major Spoilers is here. We're going to hit it hard and talk about his impressions of Logan, which I have yet to see and cannot wait. Did you end up seeing it this weekend?
I did see it. However, we saw a 10 o'clock show, 10 p.m. show after getting up early and being out all day long. I think there might have been 5 or 10 minutes in the middle of it that I might have slept through.
Oh, no.
No, that's all right. It's all right because it gives me perfect reason to go see it again, this time with Tina.
Yeah. That's my plan is with Kim. We tried to go this weekend. The wedding made it impossible, so we're going to try to go tonight or tomorrow. So we shall see. But we'll come back and talk about all that in a second. Before all that, though, the usual tradition is that Brian brought music. What do you got?
I do. I brought a song by a band called Analore. This is from their brand new album, Lull. These guys all met at the University of New York, New Paltz, in 1992, SUNY in New Paltz. Their first album, Still Awake, it was released in 1996, and so it's been a while since they've released something. They got the band together again in 2015. They included a cover of Today by the band Ride on the compilation Leave Them All Behind, a tribute to Ride, and that kind of re-sparked the love of the band getting their music out. This is very atmospheric. And I think you're going to like it. The whole album sounds like it, or the whole 4-song EP sounds like this. And this, again, great music to have on while you're working on stuff. It's atmospheric with vocals. And I love it. Here is Analore and the song Lesson Learned.
Give me lesson learned. These girls just love me, all right? They call me Mr. Sexy Cocoa Beach, right? Hey, anyways, it's just, I'm just being myself, right?
I used to drive a semi-truck back in the 70s.
This is the Morning Stream, where you get to be the man.
Or the woman. You could be the woman. It's fine.
Right, exactly. Jeez, be, you know.
Come on, Scott Fletcher. Let's have a little bit of equality. Gender equality there, buddy.
Gender equality.
Can you tell me what this guy says? I want to play it one more time. Okay? So let me turn this off. Okay, I want you to hear. You tell me what you think he's saying. Okay? Here we go.
These girls just love me, all right? They call me Mr. Sexy Cocoa Beach, right?
Mr. Sexy Cocoa Beach, I think.
Mr. Sexy Cocoa Beach? Okay, that may be it. Let me try it again.
These girls just love me, all right? They call me Mr. Sexy Cocoa Beach, right? Hey, anyways, it's just, I'm just being myself, right?
This is from this documentary I watched, a short documentary film that was on Vimeo called Florida Man. And it's all these guys in Florida. It is the weirdest. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Like, it's just, it goes, it's like in the middle of the night, guys are often very drunk. Dude I played at the top of the show was talking about a zombie that attacked his house.
Yeah.
This guy.
I used to drive a semi-truck back in the 70s.
That guy's super interesting. It's just one of the weirdest things. You people should see it. I'm gonna recommend that business. So check it out. Florida Man. It's only like, I don't know, 20 minutes long, and it's on Vimeo. And it's the same guy that made the... Who's the Faygo people?
The Juggalos.
Juggalo movies. Yeah, he did two Juggalo short documentaries that are kind of famous. So.
Yeah, the one of the reviews says it's about dudes named Mr. Sexy Cocoa Beach who have threesomes on the docks.
There it is. That's what he claimed. It's the weirdest thing, man. You just need to see it. It's just very sad in a lot of ways because there are just a lot of guys that are like, yeah, I just love it here. I'm doing great. I got my bike and my birds and my baby. And they're just like homeless and sad and drunk all the time and looking for the next hit. And it's just, I don't know. I found it fascinating. As I often do when I see the underbelly of life. All right, we gotta get this chain smoking here. With who's on next? Oh, Steven is. Kind of being dumb here. Here we go. We're gonna add him to the call. We're gonna play his little intro, and we're gonna go down the road and enjoy one another's company.
Aww, I like that.
Yeah, it's good, right? To make you feel I don't know, warm inside, or
of course it does.
All
yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is Mr. Steven Schleicher, all the way from Kansas. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. It's Monday.
It is Monday. It's for sure Monday. I am 100% sure about that. And
all signs point to Monday.
Yep. One of the signs is that you come on and we talk about cool, nerdy stuff. Before we go too far, though, I'd like to get your initial impression of Logan. Apparently, it is highly regarded. Everybody I've talked to freaking loved it and can't stop talking about it. So...
It is very, very good. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I think a couple of things. It is, and I know some people say, but it's a superhero movie. It is a Western is what it is. Mm. And they go so far as to use a very familiar movie to kind of back that up. Mm. And even the director, James Mangold, has said that this is a Western and has some very Western themes to it. And so I think that Logan is a great complimentary movie to Hell or High Water. So if you've seen that movie and you got something out of that, I think you'll really enjoy Logan with some of the same vibe and feel to it. Mm. Even down to the final shot of both movies, very similar to one another.
Hmm. So, all right. So here's my question. By the way, hearing that it's using the constructs of a Western, 100% down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're my favorite tropes in Hollywood. I love them, love them, love them. So I'm 100% in on that. What I'm curious about is, does it... The Wolverine in 2013 was okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's actually the only X-Men Marvel movie, or the X-Men Wolverine movie stuff that I enjoyed. I shouldn't say Marvel movie. I mean, it's still a Marvel movie, but sure. I enjoyed it,
it was a
more
good
than
time.
Anything before it.
Yeah, it was a good time, and it's the same director. Mm-hmm. So I was going to be like, well, how can Logan be all that different? It's the same dude. It's, you know, a lot of the same production. It's like, how is this going to really stand out or be anything more than, oh, okay, another kind of okay Wolverine movie? But everything I read says this is a step above all of that, that this is all them punching above themselves and creating something better than that. And that's,
James Mangold really fought to have complete control of this movie over any of the other movies he's done. Now, he also did 310 to Yuma. So if you're a big fan of 310 to Yuma,
oh my gosh,
you might also get some of that similar vibe going in Logan as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love 310 to Yuma.
Yeah, he was the director of that.
It's my
idea.
It's my movie of 2007.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 10 years later.
Oh my Lord. All right.
So here's the other interesting thing about Logan, and I don't want to spoil anything, and this isn't really spoilery, but this movie takes place in 2029, and Scott, Brian, and I are all going to be much, much older. In fact, I would argue that we're all going to be around the same age that Logan is in the movie, or that Hugh Jackman is supposed to be in the movie. I mean, Logan's 100 million years old, but I think if you are a parent, you're going to have, especially if someone who is in the age range that my son is right now, I think you're going to have a very different takeaway from this movie than, say, someone who does not have children.
I've heard this. I've heard this whole thing about even just the kind of trifecta of family that that is Logan, Professor X, and this girl is really palpable. Like, if you've had kids, you really feel it.
Well, and we will be in this age group, and I know, Scott, you're... you know, we're going to have parents that are into this. What do we do with mom and dad kind of situation?
Yeah, potentially. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
hopefully not by 2029. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying it's coming up for a lot of us who are in this age range.
Right.
That, you know, and I think that really resonates in this film as well. So I'd be very interested for people who are parents. If you had a very different takeaway from the movie than someone who's not a parent, I know that's going to be hard to, you know, quantify.
Sure.
Because, you know, how do you feel? You know I felt something very different before I had kids as after I had kids, but Logan really kind of hit home on a lot of key topics, I think.
Yeah. I'm really,
it's very good.
I'm super stoked. I'm so glad to hear that they got it. You know,
it is excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brian saw it, but was real tired when he saw it. So you're going to see it. And Brian, you're going to try to see it soon. Like,
I'm definitely going to try and see it again, but I did miss about 5 minutes in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start taking my damn CPAP to movie theaters.
No kidding.
It is a bit slow of a movie, but it's still very engaging.
I'm stoked.
It's well paced. I think. Yeah. I mean, it's really well acted, and
it is R rated for language and violence, obviously. There is one brief nudity scene.
Yeah, some boobies or something early on, right?
Yeah, real early on. And there was one of the people that followed me on Twitter had said, you know, the only person I really want to go see superhero movies with is my 13-year-old daughter, but I don't know if I can take her to see Logan. And after seeing this, if you have a kid that can handle extreme violence, then I don't think that this is a movie that's going to upset you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I know I can't take my 10-year-old because he kind of has a problem with extreme blood and violent type stuff.
But
if he had no problem with it, then he could have gone to see that movie without a problem.
Yeah, I'm gonna, my daughter who's older, she's 22 now or 21, whatever, she bawled, cried her eyes out in this movie. She told me she went without us, I wasn't there, and she just cried and cried and cried, and I'm like, why? She goes, you'll see, Dad, you'll see.
Oh,
so I don't even know what to expect. I'm so excited, I can't wait. I want this worse than... I cannot believe how excited I am about a Fox production of an X-Men movie.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
My gosh. And with this combined with Legion, they've got my attention, man.
Mm-hmm.
They've got stuff going on right now that I am all up in.
So if you remember when we got the first trailer for Logan that came out, I talked on the show. I said this would make a perfect black and white movie.
Yeah.
And it looks like Mangold is trying to come up with a black and white version of this release along the same lines as that other movie that we don't talk about.
No, listen, if there's anything I know about Hollywood is that you should follow George Miller's lead and do great things because he is one of the finest directors of all time, and Mad Max Fury Road is the best movie of the last 10 years. That's all I want to say about that. And I still haven't even seen the black and white version. I own it. It's here. I just need to pop it in and go. But I hear nothing but amazing things about what Fury Road is in black and white. And it's not just black and white, by the way, people. This isn't just like going take the color out.
No,
it's different than that.
It's very tweaked. Yeah.
Yeah. We tweaked and contrast stuff is crazy and it's supposed to be really neat. Anyway.
Now I will say one thing, for those of you that want to say, hey, is there an end credits sequence, you know, like they do in most of the Marvel and X-Men movies, there is not. Okay. But, there is this thing that rolls right into Logan and that is the Deadpool 2 teaser trailer, which is not set up as a, hey, this is a trailer. It's like, here's the movie starting. And then suddenly Deadpool's walking down the street and shenanigans ensue.
Great.
Right.
The interesting thing is the one that we have up on the Major Spoilers website is not the one that I saw in the theater. So there may be people who are going to the theater going, oh yeah, I can't wait. Here comes that Stan Lee cameo. And guess what? It's not in that trailer that ran in my theater. And the language is a lot different. And some things were done a little bit differently in the one that was in the theatrical release versus the one that's online. So,
so hold on. During this entire thing, do you not see Stan Lee at all in any of this?
Oh, no. There's no Stan Lee cameo.
There's no,
No.
Because the tone
which
of,
I'm okay with.
Yeah,
the tone,
yeah, me too.
Definitely have changed the tone of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fine with that. You don't need your, like, hardcore tone and then have him turn a corner and go, I got a package here for Mr. Logan. Like, that just ruins it.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's fun in the other movies. I don't want to I don't want to poo-poo it there.
For
but this
sure,
is different.
Yeah.
This is different.
It doesn't feel like it belongs here. I'm also gonna not going to tell. I'm going to just talk about how I enjoyed another character in this movie that I had no idea was in there, nor this actor.
Oh, yeah.
That I was just so glad to see in this film. Both the actor.
Someone
and
may
this
have mentioned him earlier in this show.
Oh, really?
Oh, did you mention?
Did I?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did mention him earlier in this episode of TMS.
Oh, well, say what name did you say earlier?
Yeah, people have to rewind and listen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dang it! I have no idea now. All right, let's talk about what's going on. Mage is getting its final arc, and this got announced, at Emerald City? Is that what happened?
Yeah, this happened at Emerald City Comic Con. I don't know if a lot of people know Matt Wagner's Mage. Some people are really fascinated with it. It's been around for forever, and basically is a story about the reincarnation of Pendragon, Arthur's brother, or King Arthur, depending on which version of the you know, King Arthur legend that you're familiar with. And in this version, the bat is Excalibur and there's a crazy magician that follows this guy around. But it ended abruptly and really weird about, I want to say maybe 10, 15 years ago. And a lot of people have just been begging for this to finally be concluded. And so it was announced that Image Comics will be launching the final Mage series this summer, and people will be able to pick it up and then have a complete collection. I don't know, Scott, if this was something that you read, but I know a lot of comic book fans look at Mage and say this was one of those moments that really showed that comics could be more than just capes and tights type stuff.
No, and I'm dying to check it out. It looks like he's a lightsaber. Am I reading that wrong?
That is his bat. That is his Excalibur.
Okay. And he's got that big like lightning bolt on his chest. Like, like my first impression is, well, this dude's a little cheesy, but all the talk I'm hearing from you and things I see online make me want to read it. I have not read it, but I think I'd like to.
Yeah, it's different. It's interesting. We reviewed it many years ago on the Major Spoilers podcast, and I was disappointed that it ended where it ended because it's like, oh, this book is just getting started, and now it's over, and now we can find out what happens next, and it's all coming out this summer.
Not sure that art's working for me exactly on just a first glance.
And again, it's Matt Wagner way early on in his career, all the art that you're seeing now. So it'll be interesting to see how it's changed in 20 years.
Oh, wow. It's that long ago.
Yeah. I want to say that I want to say like early or mid 90s.
Yeah, it'd have to be because this. So it would have been right around the McFarlane time. Well, obviously, because it's Image, but right around that beginning, those beginnings. I don't remember seeing it because I remember picking up a lot of the weird, obscure Image stuff then. This was
on
my radar.
I was right. This did start in the 80s. 1984 was when it first came out. And then it ran until about 99 on and off. And you can see Matt Wagner's style change
in this. Was it self-published before the Image thing? It must have
been. A lot of it, yeah.
Okay.
It was over at Kimiko before they imploded. And then it was over at Dark Horse. And then it was over at some, I want to say, maybe that's when it switched over to Image. I want to say, but it's bounced around to a lot of different publishers over the years.
You know, I like my weird, obscure indie comics, so I'm going to get in. It doesn't sound like it's that obscure. It sounds like more people know about it than I do, obviously, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Oh, and you talked about that Deadpool trailer. That is weird that they're not the same.
Yeah. To me, that was the most shocking thing because I was like, oh, I can't wait for the audience's reaction to this moment in the trailer, and then it never happened. I was like, whoa, that's
Brian, did you get your moment? Same thing. Did your trailer?
I get the same one that that Steven's talking about. He and I saw the same one before. So, so that's cool. I mean, hey, that means I get to see two different Deadpool trailers. I see it as a positive.
Yeah. Now, here's
glass half full.
If there's one thing to be said about Deadpool, and I've said it for years, he needs more misshapen, disproportional chests and terrible feet.
Oh, then you're in luck.
Am I in luck?
You're in luck because Rob Liefeld is returning to Deadpool in an all-new original graphic novel.
Oh, thank goodness. Is he writing or drawing?
He is writing and drawing.
Oh, my.
Along with Chris Sims and Chad Bowers will all take on the writing duties. And the entire art is all by Liefeld. And then you can check out some preview images over at majorspoilers.com. And, yes, there are pouches all over the place. Mm-hmm. There are also feet and ankles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? He's improved then.
Yeah.
Deadpool. I'm just trying to show the chat room like an old example of what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Captain America from Heroes Reborn is
classic.
Now, some of his... Well, I don't know. This one's okay, I guess. I don't know. I feel like it was not the Marvel time where Liefeld was in trouble with that stuff. The notable... one being the Captain America thing was pretty bad.
But that was after he had left and had done all of his Image stuff.
Yeah, he got lazy at Image is what I felt like. I felt like that's where things got weird. And the actual Deadpool art is okay. So, I'm actually kind of excited about this. The guy deserves credit for creating the damn thing.
Well, and I give him credit, too, because he does not let the haters get him down at all.
Yeah.
You can follow him. I follow him on Twitter. And, you know, people will just... be mean to him in all sorts of ways that trolls are, and he just brushes it off and keeps moving right along.
No, you almost have to, right? Because he gets so much heat for his art style. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm looking at some of the stuff, it looks fine. Like, what, his feet here are good. What happened to his feet later? Like, what was going on at Image where he just went, feet are dumb and chests are dumb, and so I'm just make a lot of dumb chests and feet. I don't know what happened there. But in the old days, stuff's fine.
Yeah.
Was there a female Deadpool?
Yes, there is.
Okay. What's her name?
I don't remember what his. There's a couple of different female Deadpools. One of them is like Gwenpool. His wife/ex-wife, and the other one is Gwenpool. She is the Deadpool from an alternate universe, and her adventures are actually pretty funny.
Oh, Lady
Gwen
Deadpool.
Stacy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Lady Deadpool, it says here.
Lady Deadpool, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's his wife or ex-wife or something.
Let's see. There's Rob Liefeld. I was trying to find a picture of Rob Liefeld. There he is saying, F you haters. I'm a big rich comic book guy. F off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good news for fans of said, project. We'll look forward to that happening. Anything else happening on Major Spoilers that people should be looking for, sir?
Oh, I would be on the lookout for the next installment of our Pandemic Legacy game for March. Mm. It's going to be really interesting. Also, we just wrapped up our Call of Cthulhu game on Critical Hit, and a lot of people have been very happy with that. So if you haven't heard it and you want to hear a very different take on Call of Cthulhu, go check out Critical Hit. The last 9 episodes have been all about that.
They've been great. I've been listening. It's also on the Frog Pants Ultra feed, in case that's where you're getting all your podcasts these days, everybody. But if not, make sure you go subscribe over at majorspoilers.com. It's a fantastic show. I'd call you guys... Crit? No. What do they call him on that other show?
We started it first, but critters.
Yes, you guys started it first, and I knew you did. It's just nobody knows it. Nobody understands.
There was a time when Critical Role started using it heavily that a lot of our followers were like, you got that from Major Spoilers, didn't you? And I haven't seen them use it as much on Twitter lately, but
they've slowed down.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I meant to ask Liam about it once, and then I forgot. But
it's no big deal.
They do a cool thing over there, but it's hard when like something swings by. Oh, I don't know, maybe like a charity that used a name that was very similar to something I work on that now now is always confused with my thing and makes it hard. And plus, it's a charity, so I can't really be a jerk. Anyway, good stuff, Steven. Majorspoilers.com and Major Spoilers on Twitter. Follow him there. Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Okay, I have an admission to make. Have you noticed that I can get like down here much easier? My voice is lower than usual.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, I think I know what's going on. So remember that weird tick I had in my throat that was like a month long, and then I had that cold and it seemed to get a little bit worse, and then it kind of went away. I still have this weird, when I hit certain high notes, this weird, like, strained, injured feeling in my vocal cords.
Oh, geez.
And it started right around the time I squealed during a scary game on a stream once.
Really?
Yeah.
You can trace it back to...
I totally can. And it's still there. It's not as bad, but it's still there. And everybody says, well, you just need to rest it. And that means not talking a lot when you don't have to and that sort of thing. So I've been trying to do that. But I've noticed since it's been there, I can get lower. I can go way lower now. So I'm a part of me wants to keep it. Part of me's like, hey.
Yeah, actually, it's good. It gives you a little bit of...
do a little VO. I don't
know, like a little vocal fry radio announcer kind of thing.
Yeah, I could do a little In a World kind of stuff if I want to. So, yeah. Line up, everybody. Get my SAG card. Let's do the VO. Let's make it happen. Quick email from Brad Edgley.
Brad Edgley.
Can you milk me?
Edgley.
He says, hey, longtime emailer, first time complainer here. okay. Says, you guys don't pimp yourselves enough. I know there are loads of people who want to give back to the show, but since you don't talk about it all the time, I don't think they know how to do it. Pimp it, says Brad Edgley.
Oh, well, thank you, Brad Edgley.
I that was very nice. It's hardly a complaint either. Also, I would say we mention it every week, but I mean, we try to be also humble about it. We don't want to be our goal is not to just constantly flood you with, you got to need your support. Huh? Right,
exactly.
We just want you to do what feels right. And so
we'll try to achieve a balance between mentioning it, but not over mentioning it.
Yeah. We don't want to over mention. Nobody likes over mentioning or oversharing or TMI, you know, nobody wants your wiener out in public. Nobody wants that. So all we're saying is, if you like the show and you want to support it, go to patreon.com/TMS, and you're welcome to do that. And that'd be wonderful because it does help this show survive.
Totally
so,
does.
Brad, I hope that was okay and that matched your standards of letting people know. We're streamed every day live at alphageekradio.com and, of course, right there at frogpants.com/TV, or no, twitch.tv/frogpants. Get all this stuff mixed up. And we're simulcast over there at diamondclub.tv, the Diamond Group.
Very, very well channeled, the Todd.
The Todd.
Good channeling of the Todd.
Channeling the Todd. Always be channeling the Todd.
That's right.
He was on a plane with his daughter going somewhere and put up some pictures on Facebook. And he never... Todd, smile more, buddy. Just smile right. Once in a while for a photo. It's fine. It's okay. You can smile. We like you. We think you're a nice guy. And there's no reason that you can't smile
Todd,
once in a while.
Todd, you'd be so much more pretty if you'd smile more.
I can hear it now. You can say, Todd, why did you not smile right after you got off on your flight?
Bad gay movies.
Well, don't rent bad gay movies on the flight. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Piece of shit.
Oh, that's not Todd. That's that's somebody else. Oh, that's Todd from... From Terminator 2 is what that is.
Oh, okay.
Piece of shit.
From the helicarrier.
From the helicarrier. All right.
Helicarrier.
The Jizz Whiz.
All right, the Jizz Whiz.
Ooh.
We're out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We're going to go now with some music, and I don't know what it is, so Brian will tell you what is it.
This will help wake people up. Hopefully, it'll help wake me up. I'm still tired from my trip, people. Brian Cleekbush, also known as Tattooed to Freak, F-R-E-Q in the chat room, says, the 6th is my birthday. One past the meaning of life, the universe, and everything, and I'll be in the chat room for once. Took the day off of work just to spend it with some of my favorite podcasters and Tad Pooligans and to try and get that WoW mount from the Heroes of the Storm quest. The request is either Take on Me by Real Big Fish or one of the Grease covers done by Less Than Jake on their CD Greased. Well, I'm going with the latter. This is great. Less Than Jake released this cover album called Greased, which features covers a lot of the songs from Grease. On there, of course, they include a cover of Summer Nights, originally sung by John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. Here is Less Than Jake and Less Than 2 minutes of Summer Nights.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Justin, Bill, all that. So come back.
Summer loving had me a blast. Summer loving happened so fast. I met a girl crazy for me. I met a guy who changed the game. Summer days drifting away. Other summer nights. Wella, wella, wella. Tell me more, tell me more.
Did you get very far?
Tell me more, tell me more. Life, she
I told her we'd still be friends. Then we made our true love vow. Wonder what she's doing now. Some dreams that make us sing, but the love for the sun.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
That guy that dances gets free drinks all night. That's called hogging.